statement. Here Paul says it, and we can have the same confidence that we're saying the same thing tonight, because look what you've gone through. Look what we've gone through. We're still fighting. We're still going forward. We're still fighting a good fight. And brother and sister, there is an end to the fight. There is an end, and we're getting close. Have you ever seen anything as crazy as what's going on in our world right now, in our country? Who would have thought we'd ever see the things we're seeing? It's a total circus, right? And here we are right in the middle with the light in the midst of all this darkness. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here tonight, Lord, to call ourselves Christian, and not just as a name, but as a walking proof that the word is still true today, Lord. We just thank you so much for opening our eyes, Lord, that we can see who we are. And Father, we can look around, and because we can see the light, then we can recognize the darkness. We recognize so many people can't recognize the dark, they can't recognize the light, and they're just kind of going about their business, not recognizing what is actually going on today. But you have a small group of people, tiny little bride, and she's moving forward, and she's fighting the good fight. And one day soon, Lord, you're going to take her out of here. Lord, we're so looking forward to that time, Father. So I pray tonight you just help us to take another step down that road towards that end time, towards a time to get out of here, Lord Jesus. And we just trust in you, Father, that you will have your way. Yes, this in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to use this, Brother Nate. All right, I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. If you want to read along, 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Start at verse 1. So 2 Corinthians 3 and 1, it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You can have a seat if you would like to. Tonight I want to speak on the thought of Christ being identified by his characteristics. And so we want to go back here and look at this a little bit. He says, you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of heart. So what he's saying is that you are the epistle of Christ that we're ministering, and we're not ministering with the dead letter, but we are ministers of the Spirit, because if all it is a dead letter, then all it is you keeping rules. If the minister is just getting the people to follow rules, and you believe this doctrine, you do this and you do that, then all it is you're ministering the dead letter. But when you are ministering the Spirit, brother and sister, then it writes it not in just some kind of creed that you write up and you believe, but what it does, it writes it on your heart, and people can see that there is a difference about you. You are not like everybody else, and everyone calling themselves Christian, but you're the oddball, because this is not a dead letter that you, well, I believe the prophet. That's a dead letter. Well, I believe what he said is true. I believe the message of the hour. That is a dead letter until that message is ministered by the Spirit into your heart, and people can look at you and say, you are the effect of this ministry. My, praise the Lord. Because if the ministry does not have that effect, all we're ministering is a dead letter. But if the ministry will have the effect that it's writing this gospel, this message, and it's changing your life so that you walk different, you act different, you think different, you live a different kind of life, not because you're following a law or a rule, but because the effect is the word, the Spirit is ministering that and bringing it to life in your life. Without that, we're just another denomination. Isn't that exciting? We're not another denomination. How do you know? Because I see the effect of the ministry in my life. I see the effect of the ministry in your life. And I see the testimony you have. And I say there's something changing around here. And it's not just us becoming more religious, but it is us becoming closer and closer to the very image of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, that's exciting. Think about it, friends. We're like six people here tonight. You know what? That's fine because it only takes one. Jesus isn't known by Christ. He's not known by the big crowds and everything. He's known by the written epistles that people can look at your life. And here's the thing. It's written in your life, but they don't understand what's written. They see something there. They see something different. But why don't they recognize it? Because what it is, friends, it's Jesus Christ in flesh, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if people don't know Christ, they cannot read what's written on your life. They just see something there. It's written in an unknown tongues. It's like in Daniel's time when the handwriting on the wall, they see it written, but they couldn't read it. That's the same thing for you and I, because if they could read it, they say, well, that's Jesus Christ, and I need to change. I need to be converted. But because they can't read it, they just ignore it and go on. Oh, my. Believers are identified by what's written in our hearts. Made believers are identified what's written on their hearts. It ain't the same thing. All they have is their doctrines and their creeds and their morality and whatever it is they're believing. But brother and sister, when it's written by the Spirit instead of just a man's idea, instead of just a letter you believing, it changes you. Why can't they read what's written? It's written in unknown tongues. They don't know Christ. They can't recognize him. They think Christ is just a doctrine I believe. I believe the prophet. I just follow these rules. And you can tell it because what do they talk about? Well, how should you dress? Are you dressing correctly? Are you following the right morals? Should we do this? Should we do that? Friends, look. There is a holiness that goes with this, but it's not a rule you're following. It's the life inside of you, the very nature inside of you, wanting to be holy. And so that's why we do the things that are holy, because when we don't, we mess up our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we dress holy. That's why we act the way we do, is because our relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. We don't want to grieve him away. That's what that's about. It's not just following some rules. It's not just some supernatural phenomenon. Some people think, well, it's because we have the anointing on us and we can be anointed. We can sing, we can shout, we can dance, we can preach. We have miracles in our midst. We have all this stuff. Friends, you can get that in so many places out there who have Trinity baptism and totally deny our prophet and deny the message of the hour. Just because you have supernatural things going on doesn't mean that you're not a devil. It's true. The devil uses those supernatural things to deceive people. That's why it's so deceptive today. What's wrong? They cannot recognize their day in this message. What is our day in this message? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? That's what it is. It's manifesting the very thing that brings Christ into the fullness like he was before. The Alpha ministry of Christ becoming the Omega ministry. And just as he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in one man, one body, one flesh, now he's the same thing, the fullness of the Godhead bodily and in many member bride. And that's why people can't recognize it, because they keep looking for that one person. They had that one person. We saw it in the prophet. Well, brother and sister, if that's where you saw it and that's all you saw it, you're missing your day in his message, because today that same fullness is in his bride on earth right now. Yes, it is. But it's done in such a way that people can look right at it and not recognize what's going on. They can look right at Jesus Christ and say, that can't be the Messiah. They can look right at the bride today and say, that can't be the Messiah. But it is. And how do you know it? It's because he's fulfilling the word for our day. That's the whole key to it. They don't recognize it because the gospel is hid. It's hid to some. It's hid to those who are not the elect. The elect are the only ones who can see it. In every age, it's only for the elect. That's all that can see it. Others can recognize there's something going on. Others can recognize it's true. They can recognize there's something right about it. But unless they have the seed inside of them to come to life, they cannot come to life. They can be foolish virgin. They will be saved. They can have all these things if they had the right attitude towards Christ. Because what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. And so they're going to be foolish virgins. They're going to be saved. I have many family members that I believe and I pray are going to fill that role. But if they don't have that seed inside them to come to life, it's impossible. And you don't give yourself that seed. That seed was put there before the foundation of the world. You were part of God back then. You don't get to choose to be part of God. You just recognize who you are. Oh my. So then, friends, without the ministry, ministering the Spirit, then it's impossible to recognize the word for your day. All you have is a written letter. You have the dead letter. You have the message. You have all the Bible, whatever, but you don't have life to go with it. Let me read out of Isaiah 29. We're going to start at verse 9. He says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." So he said, these people, they're drunk. They're drunk, but not on alcohol. They're staggering around, but not because of being drunk on strong drink. He said, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." What's he talking about? He had given them a spirit of slumber, a blinding their eyes, just like he blinded Israel so that we could get a Gentile bride. Now today, he's being the Gentile people are being blinded, and they're staggering around. Why? They can't see where they're going. They don't have the light. They don't recognize the light of this day. And if you don't walk in the light of your day, you're walking in darkness. You're blinded to it. That's why they can't read what's written there, because they can't read it. Let me keep going. He said, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed." Oh, the vision for the day is becoming like a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that has learned, saying, "Read this, I pray thee." He said, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Why is it sealed? Because the book is still a sealed book for them. For us, it's been open. For us, we can read it. But if you don't have the open seals, you cannot read the word for your day. You don't understand it. All you have is a dead letter. But it was when that book has been opened to you personally and it's been revealed what's in that book. This open book is Jesus Christ, and you can see the light for your day. Nobody else can. It's impossible. Oh, it's sealed to them, but to us, we can see it. How do you know you see it? Because I see what's written in my life, and it says Jesus Christ the same today as he ever was. I see his characteristics. "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned." What is that? Belshazzar, what is that handwriting on the wall? We can't read it. Oh, my goodness, it's terrifying. We see something written, but we can't read what it is. What do you need? You need someone to come who can read that handwriting on the wall. There's a man named Daniel. Go get him, and he could read it. Why? Because it wasn't sealed to him. It's the same thing with you and I, brother and sister. When this word has been revealed, when the seals have been opened to you, and so many people, they go around, they make it. They just make it just a doctrine they believe. Well, I believe the seals are open. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it's open. They don't believe it's open. I believe it's open. Well, that's just doctrine. That's just dead letter, unless it's actually changing your life. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you believe they're open or not. What about in your life? Has this seals, has the open word for this day, has it changed you? And is it a written epistle in your life that is ministered by the Spirit? You say, "I believe everything Brother Jerry preaches." So does the devil. That has nothing to do with anything, brother and sister. Is what he preaches, is it being quickened to you by the revelation of the word? I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you'll see where I'm coming from. "Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of man." They're religious without revelation. They're taught by man's ideas. They believe things like, just listen to the tapes. They believe things like, well, you'd have to go to my pastor. You have to go to my church. You have to see it this way. You have to do it this way. Friends, the only thing that you need is to have the word revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. And once you have that, you've got everything you need. It will bring everything into order. He said, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder." done that down through the ages. He did a marvelous work and wonder. His name was Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. He came, and he lived, and he died. He brought us back. He brought salvation for us. But brother and sister, you can believe that and still go to hell. But brother and sister, if you will see what the marvelous work he's done today, because he's always in flesh. He is always in flesh. You must recognize him in your day. That marvelous work is because now instead of that one man there, it's a many-membered body, and it's still there. And if he opens your eyes to recognize that, you are the most blessed person that ever walked this earth. Think what he's done for us. Think where we're at. Think where he's brought us through. We're still fighting faithful to run this race, to be faithful in this. But why? Because he brought us here. Look at anything in your life that he didn't accomplish. Anything you've accomplished, you can look and say, it was Christ doing it, right? If it's not, then brother and sister, you're just living on your own strength. You're living on your own ability, and you're living on the dead letter of the law. But when you can see what God did in your life, and back even when I was out there running with the devil and doing all those things, I could see that God would keep me so far. You can't go that far. You can go this far, but not quite. And I get so frustrated, say, God, what's going on? Why am I so miserable? He said, I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you. And you're going to find out one day that you are the most blessed person, and you're just going to humble you down. It's not going to puff you up and make you think you're something special. It's going to make it say, look at the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? I'd be in hell right now. Marvelous work. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in Brother Branham, not Christ in the prophet, not Christ in Jesus Christ, that body back there, but that same spirit in you doing the same thing. Oh my, what a time to be alive. Well, let's keep reading, see what he says. He said, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. What's he saying? He said, I'm going to confound them with their doctrines. I'm going to confound them with their false prophets. I'm going to confound them with the taking this message and twisting it around the way they want to do it. And it's going to deceive the people, and they're going to hide this so that they can't see the light. So they stumble around in darkness, staggering around, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, we preach, and we believe it this way, and we believe it that way. But when they look at what's being manifested in their life, if they would be honest with themselves, all they're seeing is a bunch of religious dead, blind people, a dead religion, because it's not having the same effect. And all they can do is they can point to some manifestation of the Spirit and some healings. And I'm not belittling the healings at all. Goodness sakes, we need them. But brother and sister, if that's what you're pointing at as your evidence that you're born again, you are way off. So then what is their response? What is their response when the word comes and they see something different? They see how something has changed in your life. And they look at you and say, well, I'm changed too, but not like you are. What is it then? Their response is just like Cain. They get rebellious. They say, well, I ain't going to do what you do. I ain't going to go to that church. I'm not going to believe it the way you do, because to get where you're at, you had to die to yourself, and I'm not about to do that. Not about to go there. And here's the reality. Unless you have that seed inside, you can't get low enough. That seed is what gets you to the place where you're ready to give up everything. I got to have some relief. I got to have something to satisfy this. And the only way you can get there is because that seed inside of you is thirsting for life. Without that, all you have is your own ability to be religious. And if that's all you have, then live that to the fullest. You still can be saved. But brother and sister, there's something more inside of you than that. Recognize what God has called you to. He's called you a purpose that's to be himself, himself today. So what are they doing? They double down on their religious approach. They're trying to create their own. You know what wokeness is? It's trying to create the millennium now. Let's just all get along. Let's just all be friends. Let's just all love each other. It can't happen in this world, friends. It can't happen. So he says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Isn't that what they're doing today? Look around.
Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Shall the thing framed say unto him that framed it, he had no understanding? Look at what the world is doing today. You can be anything you want. You can be any animal, any gender. There's 200 or 300 some genders. You can do anything you want. What are they saying? There's no God. I am my own God. They'll tell you that. I am my own God. I make myself my own morals. I make my own standards. I believe what I want to believe. And they all tell, I'm very spiritual. Oh, yeah, they are spiritual. They're communing with demons. That's what they're doing. They're being fed by demons. They're living among demons. And it's a spiritual world they're in. They sure are. And it's supernatural. And it's loaded with demons. They say, well, who sees us? We can do what we want. I can be anything I want. I don't care what that old Bible says. I can do what I want. I set my own moral standards. And it's like saying, who has, you know, well, God, he didn't make. I can do whatever. You know, who made me? He didn't make me. I made myself. No, you didn't. He had no understanding. You know, I'm a boy born in a girl's body. Who made you? Had no understanding. That's what they're saying. But friends, that's just out there in the completely gone, perverted world. But what about among us, among our message ranks, where they had that same attitude? They had the same attitude. We can live any way we want. We can have any religion we want. We can do the things we want. We can take the message and make us say anything we want, because who's watching anyways? That's why they changed the laws of God. They changed nature. They go back and say, you know, God has always had a ministry. He said, we don't need that anymore. Their end is sure, friends. With stammering lips and other tongues, he will speak to this people. What is it? He speaks in other tongues. He speaks by his spirit. It's not just, well, I can put this message together. I've run into this in the last little while, and it just blows my mind where people say, well, we have to correct the message. We have to get it right. Where the prophet got it wrong, we have to correct it. We got to make it right because he got a lot of things wrong. Let me ask you this, and you people, I'm getting ahead of myself here, maybe for next service. But you people who say that if Brother Branham preached something I can't find in the Bible, I throw it away. I don't use it because I can't find it in the Bible. As if you are here to correct the God-sent, vindicated prophet. Show me that ministry in the Bible when you are called to correct God's prophet. Ridiculous. Brother Ram says this, see there, they're just so blind, they're so took up with the word of man instead of being taken up with the word of God. And when you take the word of man and it says you don't need a fivefold ministry, you just need to listen to the prophet, and then they turn around and said, I believe in the fivefold ministry, just don't have to listen to it. Well, what kind of a cockamamie idea is that? He says they can't recognize the evening light. That's what's the matter. She doesn't recognize that she's too blind. The Bible said she was. And that's why you can see that you're different. They can see it. I've had people say to me, what just happened? I know that was Christ in you because of the way you handle that. And they turn right around and keep believing their false doctrine. They see there's something real. Look at you. Look at how you've been changed. People who know you, people in your family, they know there's something different. Why don't they come to it? Because they cannot read the writing that's written. And they might even recognize that's Christ that's doing that, but they still can't see it. Why not? Because it takes revelation. And you can't give them revelation, and I can't give them revelation, and Brother Jerry can't give them revelation, and Brother Branham can't give them revelation. The only way you get revelation is when Jesus Christ speaks to them personally. That's what makes us different. That's why we're not walking blinded. That's why the book is open to us, not because we're smarter than them or we're more spiritual. It's because God came and spoke to you and told you. Galatians 1 and 11, Paul says, as I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. He said, I did not preach this. It's not just my idea. He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, that makes me happy. Oh, every believer has that same testimony. Nobody taught this except the gospel to me. Nobody taught me the gospel. Jesus Christ was the one who revealed it. My daddy, my pastor, Brother Branham, Brother Jerry, nobody taught me the gospel. And if you're born again, no man or no woman or no person taught you the gospel. It was revealed to you by Jesus Christ. And you can look at that and you know when he comes and speaks to you and you recognize his voice and say, this is Jesus Christ revealing himself to me. And if he does, it changes your life. And if it's just your imagination, you just get religious. And when you sit there in a pew and hear someone preach something, I never heard that before. Wow, that's amazing. Okay. Was it just some amazing mystery or doctrine that you now heard? Or was it the revelation of Jesus Christ taking that and making it real? Because here's the thing about it. When you're sitting there and that preacher might say something that you never heard before, and something inside you right raises up and says, amen, as if you knew it. You did know it. It was just brought to your remembrance. Why? Because it was buried down there in that seed, and all it had to do was come out. And another preacher gets up and says something you never heard before, and you think, oh, something doesn't register. Something doesn't connect. There's something strange about what he just said. Why? Because there's an unction inside of you that is what John said. He said that you don't need to be taught by anybody. The Holy Spirit in there tells you, hang on a second. There's something about what he just said that's not right. Now, people take that and says that no man need teach you. The Holy Spirit's there. Brother and sister, God uses preachers to teach. He uses it to preach. And so you say, well, if it just takes a revelation, I don't need a preacher. You don't have the revelation, that's for sure. Because God uses people to bring the word. And when that word is being preached, I tell you what. How many times you sit there and the preacher's going on and all of a sudden something just anchors. And it's like, yes, amen, that's it. It wasn't because the preacher got you excited. It's because something inside was, it latched on as I said, plant that seed deep. Bring that thing to life. My. Praise the Lord. It takes more than just supernatural phenomena. It takes more than just an anointed preacher. I could get up here and shout and dance and preach all night long, and it doesn't mean that God's within a million miles of here. Let's look at Luke 24. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus appears to all the disciples. Luke 24, 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? So here they had heard he's alive, and all of a sudden he's standing in their midst, and they got so much joy, but they're, oh my goodness, how can this be? How can this be? Here he is, we know he's dead, and he's standing in our midst. So he wants to kind of bring him back down and say, okay, y'all, hey, you got anything to eat? Was he hungry? No. He was not hungry. So why do you want to eat? He wanted to show that this is a real body. I'm not a ghost. I'm not just a spirit. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. He took it, ate it before them. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, which I, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So he goes and tells him, I have fulfilled the word that was written what the Messiah would do. But listen to what happens next. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Even him appearing, risen from the dead, did not reveal the word to them. You see what it takes? It takes him to open your understanding. That's why so many people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Today they do. And it doesn't hardly affect them at all because it's not been revealed. Even seeing someone, the same thing when Lazarus, you know, remember he was dead and he was there. He was in Abraham's bosom and that rich young ruler, he was down in hell. He said, send Lazarus to my five brothers. Send him there and warn him not to come to this place. And Abraham said, we can't do that. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, but if one raises from the dead, then they'll believe him. And Abraham said, if
they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe even though someone raises from the dead. That's why just supernatural miracles and things are not enough. And yet how many people, that's what they go by. I know I'm born again. Why? Because I was at the altar or I was in my pew and I had this great feeling come over me. All of a sudden I just got this great baptism. Oh, I screamed, I shouted, I praised. It was just the most wonderful thing. I know what you're talking about. I've been there many times and there's nothing to compare for it, but it doesn't mean anything. Isn't that brutal? It doesn't mean anything. It does not mean that you are born again. It doesn't mean you know Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean anything. It means that you were in the right place to have that spirit come and do that. But brother or sister, Satan can give that to you just to get you deceived to think you're born again. He likes it when people get to that point. He encourages them to worship. You can go, oh, this is horrible. You can go to some services and you can see how people are so encouraged to worship and because what it does, it creates such an atmosphere and all this supernatural stuff is going on. And people walk out of there and they're saying, oh, we had a wonderful time. What a wonderful service. And we did. But you know what they're talking about? The wonderful worship. Why aren't they talking about the word? The word is the main thing. It's the word, what was revealed in the preaching of the word. That's what the main thing is. That's what matters. Let me keep going. Look, to know him is life. It's the new birth. The revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally is the new birth. That's how you know it. You have to have that. And that can come a thousand different ways and the ways you never expected it. And you can look at yourself, I know this because I know his characteristics. I know Christ. How do you know Christ? By his characteristics. You know that this is him because this is how he acts. And you know what his main characteristic is? He always fulfills the word for his day. In whatever age it is, that's what it is. And so if we're here and we're just pointing back to Pentecost and say, well, we spoke in tongues, we shouted, we had the restoration of the gifts, we need the restoration of the gifts, but we need to go farther than that. We said, well, we had a prophet came, he was vindicated, he preached a message, and now we have to go farther than that. You say, well, where are we supposed to go to? We have to go to the point where the bride is the very fullness of the Godhead in flesh today. That's where we're getting to. That's the race we're running right now. See, I don't understand that. Okay, well, you understand what God reveals to you. That's all that he requires. You don't have to sit there and say, well, what is Brother Wayne supposed to do? What part is Brother Gene supposed to do? What part is Sister Jessica supposed to have? Who cares? What part are you supposed to do? That's what you got to worry about. And if you're taking care of that, then you're going to recognize Christ written on the hearts of your brothers and sisters who are also born again. And you know what? Even if you like him or not, you're still going to recognize, yeah, that's still Christ in there. You might not agree with what they're doing. You might not agree with anything. But if you see Christ written on the heart, you recognize one thing. I'm going to spend eternity with that person. I better start learning to get along with them. Oh, my. It's the revelation of who he is. And it's only by the letter. The ministry is ministering by the Spirit, not by the letter. You say, what, but you're saying the word. Yeah, I have to say the word. This is how we minister. But God takes that word and engulfs it and dwells within that. And it's the mechanics and the dynamics. Because if all I preach is mechanics and the dynamics don't come with it, it's not doing anybody any good. But when God will take that word that's being preached and get inside, because that word is a seed. Remember, that word is a seed. And when that word drops into there, if it's the right kind of seed and it's got the dynamics on it, it brings it to life and it produces what's in that seed. But if it's just a dead letter, I can be up here and preach ever so good and be so anointed and I can preach exactly what's right, but if I am not ministering by the Spirit, it's still not going to do you a whole lot of good, because it's got to be the ministry of the Spirit, not the dead letter. You need the ministering of the Spirit to bring that revelation. Theology doesn't do it. So then how do we know the word for the age? You say, well, we're fulfilling the word for the age. That's why God sends a messenger to every age. Because with that messenger, even if it's a reformer, if it's a prophet, whatever it is, they have the word for that age, and the seed of that age recognize that message for their age, and they walk in that light. Without that messenger, how do you know what the light is? That's why so many millions of people out there are claiming to be Christian, but they're not walking in the light because they don't have the message of the hour. It's impossible.
It's impossible to be the bride of Christ in the age you are if you don't have the message for that age. And we have so many people around the message. They're starting to say, I don't believe you had to be a message believer to be bride. You can take quotes, different things Brother Branham said over the years, and you can twist them a little bit to come up with that. It's the saddest thing in the world, because when someone says that, it makes me wonder, do you know Christ? Do you recognize the need for the message? Why do we need a prophet? If you can be bride without having the message, we don't need a prophet. It's amazing to me. Message preachers saying something like that. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Why? Because that's the only way that you're going to know the word for your day, is to believe on the ministry that God sends to that age. He starts with a messenger. For us, it was a prophet. And then the ministry comes along and takes the message and preaches it out. And you got to believe on him who he has sent. Whatever ministry God gives you to believe in, you're responsible for listening to that and believing it. You don't have to like them at all. You just have to accept it. You have to believe on what they say. The prophet and messenger of that age identifies the word for that age, and the ministry for that age takes that word and preaches it out to the people. So the different churches. That's why you can ministry that's pointing to something different, a different word, is because they don't know Christ. You can't lead someone to someone you don't know. If I don't know Christ, I could preach about him all day long, but if I don't know him personally, then I can't get you to him. Because the word must come through the body. How do you know if it's correct or not? How do you know if, you know, I have all kinds of prophets running around. You can get online, on YouTube, whatever, and I'm a prophet, and I'm a prophet, and I'm a prophet. How do you know if it's true? This is Brother Branham. He said, when God comes down and vindicates it and proves it. He said, well, it's proved me, because I prophesy and things come to pass, and I heal the sick, and I do that. That's not what he's talking about. You're still talking about 1906 Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts. That ain't enough. He said, well, I didn't believe it that way. They didn't believe it Jesus' way, but God proved it. They didn't believe it Noah's way. They didn't believe it Moses' way. They were willing to take Balaam's word. We're all the same. Let's just associate together. And so when you have someone and you see the effects of the ministry is producing the wrong kind of person, the wrong kind of believer, then you know that that person's wrong. If all we're doing, try to do is get as many people in as possible, then we're following Balaam's doctrine. Obviously, that don't work around here, because we got, you know, half a dozen people in here. Separate yourself, the Bible said, from unbelief. Let me keep going here. Jesus himself is the interpretation of the Bible. When he's made manifest in the age, that part of his body is being made manifest. If it's a hand age, it must be a hand. If it's a head age, if it's a voice age, if it can't be a foot age. So he's saying whatever age the body is coming on earth and is raising up, he said whatever age it is, that's what must be made manifest. He said now we're at the eye age. What's that? It's the prophet. The prophet ain't here anymore. He said, and now the next, boy, I like that. He said, now we're at the eye age. He said, now the next is him, his self, to come. Now you say, well, that's the rapture. No, it's not. It's the bride coming of Christ to get ready for the rapture. That's him, his self. That is what we must be manifesting now. That's the word for this age. Him, his self. Because we have come past the ministry of the prophet in flesh. We are now the message he brought living in you. All believers watch for that. All believers watch for the manifestation of the word for their day. They're not satisfied just going to church. They're not satisfied just being a good person. They're not satisfied just being a Christian and whatever. But brother and sister, they need to see, they hunger and thirst to see, what is the word for my day? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? I have to do all this other stuff. I got to work. I got to raise my kids. I got to take care of that. But what is my main purpose on earth? is to be a written epistle, read of all men, and so that someone who has the same eyes to see, they can see that on your heart and recognize there's Christ in flesh. Oh, my. Without messenger, you can't know the word for your age. No one taught you the gospel. You see, my mom taught me when I was growing up. Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. She taught you the letter. The preacher taught me it. Yeah, he did. He taught you the letter. You learned about the gospel. You learned the Bible stories. You learned about the prophet. You learned all these things. But when you come to the right age in the appointed time, God took over. He said, now I'm going to teach you from here on out. All those things that you learned up in your mind, I'm going to drop them into your heart, and it's going to change your life, and you're not going to be like you used to be. And how are you going to know it? By the characteristics. The characteristics of Christ in you. And you can't know it if you don't know Christ. How do you know his characteristics? Let me give you an example of kind of what I'm talking about. I'm going to pick on Brother Wayne. Hope you're all right with that, Brother Wayne. Someone comes to me and says, hey, you know Wayne Roberts? I say, yeah, yeah. How do you know? He goes to my church. Really? Well, I heard he's a really good guy. He is. He is. Well, I know where he lives. I'm going to go down and fellowship with him a little bit, okay? I said, yeah, go ahead. So I see the same guy the next week. He said, you know, I went down to talk to Wayne Roberts, and his wife said, you know what? He's the laziest guy ever. I couldn't get him to work a day in his life. He is so lazy. He's out there sleeping in the hammock. He ain't going to get up for any visitors. You might as well come back some other time. Wayne? Lazy? Yeah. She said she's almost divorced him a dozen times because he can't get a day's work done. Wayne Roberts, lazy. Yeah. I said, well, I see him the next week. He said, I went out there and see if he was up yet. You know what? He said he wanted to take me out to dinner. He said, we're going to go to a vegan restaurant because I don't believe it's right to eat meat. I think it's a sin to eat meat. I said, well, I'm not a vegan. I'm not going along with you. Well, yeah, well, you need to repent if you eat meat. Wayne Roberts, a vegan. I said, well, I'm going to go try one more time. He shows up. He comes the next day. He said, you know what? I went out there, and he was sitting there knitting a shawl. I didn't know that he was a knitter. I said, Wayne Roberts from Sladen. He said, no, Wayne Roberts from Clarksville. You got the wrong Wayne Roberts. How do you know? Because none of those characteristics fit him. It's the same thing when someone gets up, and they start talking about Christ and their religion, and you say, that's not the Jesus Christ I know. That don't fit his characteristics. You might have all kinds of supernatural wonders, but you don't know the Jesus Christ I know because he's not that one you're describing. Something inside registers that ain't the right one. No, sir. Now he says, well, where does this guy live? I tell him where he lives. So I see him the next week. I said, did you find Wayne Roberts? He said he wasn't there. He said, where was he at? He's fishing. Ah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He invited me. He invited me next week. He's going to come. He's going to have a fish fry. Yeah, that's Wayne Roberts. Yeah, yeah. I showed up one time. He's sitting there with his grandkids, just spoiling the rottenness out of his grandkids. That's Wayne Roberts. Yeah, you got the right one now. Brother and sister, when you get the right Christ, you're going to see those characteristics, and it's going to live, and it's going to be written right there in your heart, and it's going to manifest yourself right out, and your brothers and sisters are going to look at you and say, I see something that's not Gene. I see something that's not Wayne. I see something not Cindy. I see Jesus Christ living in flesh today. And you know what? The more I see that, you know what that proves? It's just about going home time. My. My, my, my. So then what are Christ's characteristics? Let's go ahead and stand. I got one more quote. Go ahead and stand. We'll finish this. He said, how do we know him? Brother Bram says this. It's not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing in the spirit. Well, hear what he said? Not by dancing in the spirit, not by joining church, not by fruit of the spirit. Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that sea and even deny Jesus Christ was divine. Not that, but it's the word living
There it is. If they had only looked, he was Messiah. He was the living word made manifest. Why? Because he said, search this, and if you see that I'm manifesting what the word says I'm supposed to, then you know who it is. And brother and sister, you must do the same with your own life. You need to look through the word and see if what is promised for you is being manifest in your life. Otherwise, you're just settling for some lukewarm Christian life. Can't do it. He said, a man that's got the Spirit of God in him or a woman lives that word, lives right out in them. That's the heartbeat, the predestinated. For the word of the Lord comes to them, and they are the word to the people. Written epistles, read of all men. Is that right? Think about it. It's written right out to the people. The word is living through you, and I can see it, and you can see it, and other people see it, and they either hate it and persecute you, or they love it and they respect it, even though they don't have it themselves. And those people are going to be saved because of the attitude they had towards Jesus Christ. Those are your nickels and your dimes and your quarters and those people who are not called to be bride, but they're called to be the remnant. They're called to be foolish virgins. They're called to be saved for your sake. And now he says something that just blows me away. He said, we're written epistles, read of all men. Is that right? Could the third pull be on? He says, when that word is written in you, he says, that's when the third pull is on. Because when you look at the third pull, there's so many aspects to it, right? Spoken word. Speak to the mountains, the storm, all those things. Creative power. It's for the bride. It's to the lost. You know what he's talking about? You know what he's describing? He's describing Jesus Christ when he's here the first time. That's exactly what it is. And now it's Jesus Christ when he's here again doing the same thing in flesh. You are the manifestation of the third pull. That's who we are. That's what's going on. Restored back to all that Adam and Eve lost. You know, one of the greatest miracles to me, it's not the spoken word. I can speak something to existence. That's amazing. I can stop a storm. I can start a storm. I can bring rain. I can do all these. Those things are amazing. I can lay my hand on someone. They can become healed. Amazing. Let me tell you the greatest miracle of all, the greatest restoration, is when God can take your soul and make you innocent. You never did it in the first place. That's just amazing. You're restored all the way back. Your soul is restored all the way back to what Adam and Eve lost. That's where we are tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, let that drop into our hearts. Let that become something more than just something I believe in my head. But let me see that happening here. And it is. That's why your desires are changed. That's why what you used, oh my God, I'm trying to quit. Brother, what you used to be addicted to, what you used to couldn't get over, what you used to have such an enticement, it's not there anymore. Oh yeah, you can still get tempted because there's stuff going on in your mind. But brother and sister, down in your heart, it's not that way anymore. Is there something different? And Satan comes and comes against you with, well, you remember this? Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, but what about this? It don't bother me anymore. Why? Because I have left that behind and my nature is all I want to do is see Jesus Christ and his holiness. Oh yeah, friends, just keep walking. We are almost run this race. It's almost over, friend. It's almost over. And I can guarantee you one thing, if you don't believe anything else I said tonight, believe this: it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, sometimes he just makes me so happy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that you would come and again tell us who we are and what you're doing in our lives. How, Father, we can't hardly comprehend it in our human mind because we're speaking of things that are eternal. We're speaking of things that our mind can't comprehend because it just doesn't make sense. We can't make it make sense, but you're supernatural.